place where you realize it's a congregation that you've invested so much in the sense where you've poured so much, I think, of yourself into this congregation. So what do you leave them with? What words do you leave them with? And for me, basically, there's only three words that came up that I decided with this. I just want to share this almost for the last time, say these three words. And I think it's something that I've said numerous of times from behind this pulpit. With some of you, I've said it a lot of times, but I hope you haven't missed it. So if you've missed it, I just want to say it again. And the three words basically being, be the church. I want to say it again, be the church. And I think it's so important for all of us to realize that it's so important that we make a mind shift about church, about what church is supposed to be, what church is supposed to look like. Because for a lot of us, I think in the times we're living in, church has become something, was a place where we go to every Sunday. But church is not a place we go to every Sunday. That's why I say it's so important that we need to make that mind shift. Church is something that's supposed to happen in your life every single day. And I honestly only think, only once we've come to that place where you've made that shift, where you've become the church on a daily basis, that we can really say that we represent Christ. I don't think we represent Christ if we haven't become the church on a daily basis. And then, of course, thinking about Sunday. So what is Sundays then? Well, Sundays is only that moment or that place where the church gathers together. So Sundays is that time when we as the church come together and where we celebrate together. I think Sundays is supposed to be that moment where the body of Christ pull together and where we encourage each other, where we build each other up, where we worship God together. And Sundays is supposed to be that place where we can invite other people into to experience the body of Christ, to experience the love that we've got for each other, to experience that moments in which we actually celebrate Christ and the fullness of who He is. I want to share this first scripture with you. It's Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not neglecting to meet together. You see, often I think we realize that we are the church, but what we don't realize as part of what we as a church is supposed to do is to come together. Because that's what the word says. It actually invites us to come together, to gather together. I think about Jesus, for instance. I think Jesus was the best example you can have of what church is supposed to look like. If we think about Jesus, all the things He did on this earth while He walked on this earth, that's the image of the church. That's something we all should strive for, is to become more and more like Jesus. And I think all of us need to acknowledge that none of us can do the same things that Jesus did. All of us will try to do the same things, and we're supposed to do that. But we'll all fall short. But still, he's the best example that we've got of what the church is supposed to look like. And if we think about Jesus being that good example of what the church is supposed to look like, then maybe we can think about that moment when He left this earth, that moment when He was taken up into the clouds. But you see, in the moment that Jesus left the church didn't leave. It's actually in that moment where the church was multiplied. And I want to read the scripture where we see this happen, and it's in Matthew 28. Now I want to read from verse 16 to verse 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's why I say in that moment when Jesus is this great example of what church is supposed to look like, that moment he left this earth, he actually multiplied church. He multiplied himself into the disciples, because he taught them in the years that he was with them. But from that moment, they had to go out, and if I may say it this way, they had to go out and be the church, to go and represent him. And if they did not do that, we wouldn't have been here together this morning. We are together because they went out, because they became the church. And we see in that scripture, Jesus talking about all authority in heaven and on earth that he had. But he gave that authority to us to become the church and to represent him on this earth. Now, when we talk about church, there's two aspects of church. On the one side, it's that aspect where we can say, okay, but so we are the church. It's that area where we can say, okay, so church is not an institution, it's we. It's something we're supposed to do daily, not only on Sundays. That's the first aspect of what church is. It's us. It's us representing Christ. But the second aspect of church is that coming together. It is that, if I may call it, that institution. And a lot of times, I think, we think, okay, but yeah, but it's a manly institution. But it's not. It's a godly institution. It's something that God has decided this is the way he's going to reach the world. It's through this institution that he planted, not us. It's the institution to which he is the head of. And why I think it's important to share this morning is because a lot of times we get that revelation that we are the church, that we are representing Christ. But it's like then we move all over to the one side, away from the other side, to a place where we don't want anything to do with church as an institution. But then a challenge for me, if we believe it like that, is that scripture we just read in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, don't neglect the gathering. Don't neglect that coming together. So there we clearly see, but it's, church is not only that place where we can say we are the church. Church is also a place where we need to come together. And also if we look at scriptures, what we can clearly see is there's so many scriptures talking about what church as an institution is supposed to look like. What it's supposed to look like when the church comes together. When the church gathered together. So many scripture where it talks about the functions of the different people in church. So many scriptures talking about the order there's supposed to be in church. And if we look at the scriptures, we can quickly realize, but this is definitely not only talking about what's supposed to happen in me as the church, but this scriptures is talking about an institution where Christians come together, where the body comes together. I just want to read one of those scriptures as an example. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Now, I know for certain I don't have all of that inside of me. I don't know about you. So it's very clear when God is talking about the church, when the Bible is talking about the church, is not only talking about us as individuals being the church, but it's also talking about the institution, where each of us as representatives of the church comes together, where we form the body of Christ. It's that place where we gather together and where we allow other people to experience the body of Christ in its fullness. Because I think each of us is just like a little part of what church is supposed to be like. Yes, if we look at Jesus, we can see the whole picture. But none of us is Jesus. Although we all can strive to be like Jesus and supposed to do that. So therefore, we need to come together for people to experience the fullness of what church is supposed to be like. And yes, I think if we talk about church as an institution, so many times we can say, yes, but I got hurt in church. This or that happened, something bad happened in church. But the thing is, it happens everywhere. If we get hurt in the world, we don't say, okay, now I'm withdrawing from the world. We're still in this world. In the same sense, if we get hurt in church, we can't say, okay, I'm just withdrawing now. I'm just pulling back. And I think a lot of times it's, yes, I don't think everything that happens is the will of God. I don't think every time we get hurt, it's the will of God or the plans of God for us to get hurt and stuff like that. But I think that's the kind of stuff we need to be able to take back to God and to ask Him to help us to work through that stuff. And I think only once we start to do that, we start to draw closer to other people and closer to God. I think, for instance, about a relationship or a marriage, for instance, don't the husband and the wife hurt each other sometimes in a relationship or in a marriage? No, it's not always on purpose, but it happens. And that's no reason for any one of us in that relationship just to say that, okay, now I'm withdrawing, I'm pulling back. That's a moment we need to talk through. That's a moment we need to work through. And I really believe it's because of that moment that we become stronger. I really believe it's because of that moment that we become closer to each other. And it's exactly the same with church. But I think too often the devil would try to draw us away from church, to draw us away from what God has called us to be, the fullness of what we're supposed to be. So we can come to a question of why not? Why would I not want to be part of a celebration like this? We can come to a question of asking, but why would I not want to be built up? Because that's something that's supposed to happen in church. But I rather want to ask the question, why would I not want to build others up? Because that's what church is supposed to be. You see, church is not supposed to be the place where I go to receive. Church is supposed to be the place where I'm challenged to give more than to receive. But I think too often we've got a wrong expectation about what church is supposed to be like, about what church is supposed to be. I think too often we find ourselves maybe in a place where we come to church to receive and we go home empty. We go home basically saying, but this church is just not doing it for me. I had this expectation for this morning to receive, but I go home and I still feel empty. And the reason for that is because Scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you see, if you come to church giving instead of coming to receive, you're not going to go home empty. You're actually going to go home full. It's that place where we come to church to give to the people around us, to build each other up. So we come and we bring of ourselves and pour that into other people, building them up. And by doing that, you'll experience the fullness of what church is supposed to be. You see, I think it's so important for us to stop living with the expectation of what church is supposed to be, and to start to think about the expectation that Christ has on us as the church, where we are supposed to come to give instead of receiving. I think in the last couple of months, there were so many times where so many of you basically came to us and said to us, but it's just like there's something different in the Spirit. It's like you can experience there's been a shift. Something changed. Now, I want to say to you this morning, that change that you experienced is there, but it's there because of you. And I believe that shift that you experienced is because so many of you has made that shift. We're not still just coming to church to receive, but where you're coming to give. I think it's because of so many of you has made that shift where church is not only a place I'm going to on a Sunday, but church is something that happened on a daily basis inside of me. I think it's because so many of you became the church that you can pick it up in the Spirit. And that's basically what I think it's so important for each of us, is to come to that place, to realize what church is supposed to be, and to experience the fullness of church. But I think only once we've made that shift will we be able to experience the fullness of church. And I think in the end of the day, we can move from church to church to church. And it might be the same feeling everywhere. Because something all those churches have in common is you. And it's not the churches that need to change. It's me and you. And therefore we need to get to that place where we become the church. Instead of having this expectation of what the church is supposed to look like and what it's supposed to be. I want to read the last scripture, Matthew 25, verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." It's a very profound verse, this. And it's where Jesus comes to us and tells us, listen, but you need to be faithful in little, so that I can entrust you with so much more. In other versions of the Bible, it says where he can give you the authority over more. There's versions that talk about where he will put you in a place to rule over cities. So what it's talking about is he's saying, listen, be faithful in little so that I can entrust you in so much more. But too often we want to live in high spiritual places, but we're not faithful in the little. But we need to get faithful in the little. And something very interesting about this verse, and I'm not building a doctrine around this morning, so don't get me wrong. But after coming to this place where he's saying, you've been faithful in the little, he's talking about good and faithful servant. A servant, remember, a servant is someone that's giving, not someone that's receiving. He's saying, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. So he's talking and saying to you, listen, you've been giving a lot, but you've been faithful in that. And because of that, I'm building you up. Because of that, I'm entrusting you with more. And then he says these words, enter into the joy of the master. Please note that enter into the joy of the master only happens once he's been faithful over little and been entrusted with more. And like I said, I'm not building a doctrine around this morning, but I'm just wondering, how many places is there that God wants us to enter into? But because of us not always being faithful, that we can't enter into that places. Enter into the joy of your master. This is not a worldly joy. This is a godly joy. This is a joy that only God can give you. I think all of us is born with an empty space inside of us, a space that only God can fill. And I know a lot of people, maybe a lot of us as well, what we've done is we've tried to fill that void with a lot of different things from this world. And after having success in so many things, you'll come to a place where you realize, but it's still, that void is still there. It's because God created you in a way that only He can fill that. And the same way, when I look at this, and it talks about the joy of your master. I think there's a joy that all of us need. And this joy is, I'm not talking about a peace. I believe the moment we get saved, I believe the moment we give our hearts to Christ, He can come and He can fill us with His peace. But this joy is something different we need to experience. And I don't know, and that's why I'm saying I'm not building a doctrine around it. I don't know if this joy only comes once we've started to be faithful. But I can see God inviting us to enter that place. And He's inviting people that's been faithful servants. Faithful in giving, faithful in the little. But I think the important thing to realize is that it's more blessed to give than to receive. For us as a family, and I basically want to finish with that this morning, for us as a family, we've been in Windhoek for 2 years and 2 months now. And it's like, in a sense, it's like we've poured our everything into this congregation, into you guys. Not only me, but we as a family. We left behind so much to come here, and we've given so much. But you see, the thing is, we're not going away feeling empty. We're not going away here feeling drained or anything like that because of what we've poured into this congregation. We're going away here feeling full. We're going away here where we can say to you guys this morning that even we have received healing in so many areas of our lives. But we're going away here feeling fulfilled, not tired. We're going away here feeling blessed. We've experienced that scripture that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We've experienced church through you guys. And therefore this morning, like I said, I just want to leave you. I don't have a lot to say, but I want to leave you that with that three words. Be the church. Can I pray for us? Yes, thank you, Father, Lord, for a morning like this. Thank you, Father, that like so many other times, Father, that we can just declare, Father, that Jesus, You are the head of the church. You are the one leading us. You are the one giving us direction. And Jesus, we know that You've called Your disciples and You're still calling each of us today to follow in Your footsteps, to be the church to so many people around us. Thank You, Father, for what You've done in each of us. Thank You, Father, for what You've done in this congregation through us. But also thank You, Father, for what You've done in us through this congregation. Because, Father, it always worked two ways. It worked both ways. And thank You, Father, that we can know, Father, that this congregation is in Your hands and You are in control. Thank You, Father, that this morning is the beginning of a new season. And Father, let every person in this congregation notice the new season and know their place in this new season. And let them be the church, like You called them to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul?
All right. I don't know if it's the privilege for me to send them off. Bit of a mixed emotion. Annemarie, you can join him. You're also going with him, I think.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, as the one that's not coming back every month for a week, I just want to say that we are so full of joy for every single one of you. If I had the chance to look each and every one in the face or in the eyes and tell you exactly what you have meant to us as a family and to me personally, I would, but there won't be a chance for that. So if you get me outside, please look me in the eyes so I can tell you. But we are just, we have never been so blessed with a church family as with this one. And I'm not lying now, and it's going to be, even if it is on the internet, they can hear this, I don't care. But you really, really, really blessed us. Your servant hearts, the love that you showed us and the understanding for our children in their becoming teenagers, it really meant a lot to us, and we will never forget you.
Yes, and as I said, I think just sitting here in the back, you know, practically, there's a lot of things that, reasons why we won't forget Josh, kom staan hier, man. There's a lot of reasons why we won't forget Philip and the Gerber team, if I can call them, due to the fact that there's going to be some whitewashed wood staying behind, and there's going to be some nice wood products in all of your homes, and there's a lot of other things in church where you can just see, yes, yeah, you know, this is Annemarie's hand, the Kiddies church was transformed again, and you know, that's all very nice and well, but you know what's amazing is Jesus, you know, when people also in the natural ask them, you know, where is this kingdom you're talking about? And he says, you know, you can stop looking, the kingdom is within. And I think that's so awesome for me sitting there at the back, you know, you guys are leaving and the wood will fade and all the other things will go, but you know, the kingdom of God is within us. And that is amazing, and that is why I just want to encourage you. I just feel one word for you guys, because even as a farmer, I have to patiently year after year in faith, keep sowing in the ground and just hope. I just feel God is saying, keep sowing. And you're not going to see it early again, but keep sowing. And we as a family hope, as you've blessed us, that you won't stop what you've been doing. The kingdom of God would be poorer without you. Amen. Mike, if you want to come up, we can just lay hands on them and quickly just send them. Father God, we just come this morning, Lord, as your children, Lord. We come, Father God, because we know you're a good Father. We come, Father God, because we are enabled by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We come humbly, Lord, Father God, because you are faithful, Lord. I thank you, Lord, Father God, that as the Gerbers are standing here, Father God, I just feel that, Father God, this is a moment, Father God, where you want them to put the 12 stones down, Father God, so that they would remember what you have done, Lord. And when their children look back, they could always be reminded, Lord, Father God, of what you have done, Lord. And I just thank you for this morning, Lord, Father God, that we send them, Lord, Father God, with your victory and with your blessing, Lord. We say, Father God, that they will be the head and not the tail, Lord, Father God. Father God, I thank you for Philip, for being a faithful steward, Lord, Father God. And I thank you that you would reward him in your own special way, Father God, not where man sees, Father God, but in the secret place, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God, for Annemarie, Father God, and the joy that you have brought in her heart, Father God, and how that joy, Father God, is not going to fade, Father God, but it will be multiplied, Lord. I thank you for that, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you for these children, Father God, that they're not just merely kids, Father God, as the world would say, Father God, but I just pray and I thank you, Lord, Father God, that they're being sent out as your agents, Father God, as your chosen ones, Father God. And I know, Father God, you've got a specific plan for them as well, Lord. And therefore, we do not only send out their parents, Father God, but we send them out, Father God, to be your hands and your feet, Father God, as they've been here, Lord. We just worship you, Lord, Father God, and we thank you for your favor on their life in Jesus' name. Amen.